Did you know that words shape our reality? As humans, words shape us. They shape our present, our future. They can reshape our past sometimes when you learn something you didn't realize. They shape us. When I was a freshman, went off to college and found out that there was this brand new thing called email and started emailing. And we found that, you know, I could type faster than I could write, and I could send it for free rather than pay for it. So that was two for two. I was down with that and started emailing a young lady named Nicole. We were just friends. A couple years later, we were more than friends. We were on the phone talking for hours on the phone. Anybody remember long-distance charges on phone bills? Well, if you want to do the numbers, Nicole and I had some months of $200 or more while in college in a long-distance relationship. We talked and talked and talked. And on top of that, we emailed, which was great. And if she wouldn't have printed off some of her emails, we would have lost them completely when we graduated from our colleges and went on and didn't realize you lose your email when you left college. So we have those emails printed up in a nice folder for us. And they helped shape my reality. I was becoming Eric, who was a lover of Nicole. First, a good friend, and then more. And word helped shape our reality. We cherished every word. And even now in our lives, all of us, words continue to help shape our reality. Words can change your day. They can change your life. They are vital for us as humans. In some ways, they are what is unique for us as humans amongst every other creature. Words. And so we have a God who has words for us. Words communicate meaning for us, and they make things real for us. They help us understand life around us. And so worship also shapes us, and worship involves words. We've been looking at four movements of worship as we see how worship shapes us. The first one is revelation. God reveals himself to us in his nature, and our proper response is adoration. We praise him for who he is, just like the angels did in front of Isaiah. And then comes confession. We proclaim the truth of who God is. We realize in comparison to us who he is, and our proper response is contrition contrition and repentance. And God responds to us with forgiveness. So there's a back and forth that happens. And then we come to the third movement. And wouldn't you know, we're back in Isaiah chapter 6. So would you turn there with me? The third motion that happens in worship and response is going to be in verse 8, but we're going to read the verses leading up to it because, hey, it's a great chapter. As soon as you have Isaiah chapter 6, would you stand with me in honor of God's word? Let's let him speak to our hearts and let's focus with joy the words he has for us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, these words are for us in an amazing way. We ask that your spirit would speak through what's familiar, through what's not familiar. Speak words of life for us that we may live by your grace, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. The voice of the Lord speaks there in the temple. The same voice that created everything we've ever seen and way more of a universe than we'll ever comprehend. That voice spoke. This is the voice that Psalm 29 tells us thunders over the waters. The majestic voice that creates trees and splinters them with lightning. The powerful voice that moves continents and gives life in conception. That voice spoke to Isaiah. God spoke. Now you might have noticed that this is the moment in Isaiah chapter 6 when God speaks. He doesn't speak before this. Earlier it was seraphim that was speaking. The angels were speaking. Now God speaks. Our Christian faith that we have received, that has been carried on to us, is a faith of revelation. God's own self-revelation is at heart. And this revelation is not just words, as we saw a couple weeks ago. God's own self-revelation is through his creation and through people. And without words, we can see his love and understand something of him. But we'll gladly say that God goes much beyond just the creation. He goes much further than just physical things that we see. The Lord spends a ton of time in the Old Testament speaking, sharing words of life with his people, and ultimately with us. Eventually, as his people march along in their nation, we start to hear about prophecies about a king that is coming that is greater than King David, greater than any of the kings that they had, but one that would not fail as they did. And so the words of this prophecy give way to expectation of a king who is to come. And we would be ignoring our great faith if we failed to mention the supreme revelation of God's heart and identity, his son, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God he sent to us. This is the one the prophet spoke about. Hebrews 1:2 says, in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And Jesus was not short on words. He shared all kinds of messages, short and long, with parables and in prayer. And I don't want to miss a single Sunday proclaiming some version of the good news that carries on Jesus' message, the gospel, in full or in short. And today I'll just say the gospel is good news. Have you ever thought about the word news there? As sinful humans, we are lost, but salvation is good news. It's not our works or smarts or resources or anything else by which we are saved. Instead, God has brought salvation by good words to us. Words of his grace and joy and future and identity for us. He's spoken and he speaks. And in all these, we just need to receive that news. And so in his declaration over his people, God says so much about us. These words speak a blessing and a favor into our lives. In Christ we are, and I just brought a few today, we are forgiven, we are redeemed, we are a holy people and the people of God. We are his fellow servants. We are his sheep, his bride, his friends, his ambassadors, his beloved. And we could take a whole day or week on any of these things. God says all of this and more. 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. By his words and by his work, Jesus brought love and salvation. And so, all of these messages were carried on by God's people who became the people of the good news and became a movement of the gospel. The book of Acts in the Bible is the history of the early church. And you might just say it's a sharing of the good news that expands the fellowship, which shares the good news and expands the fellowship. And so by this message, this movement of the gospel, the message of the good news came to us. So some of the good news of the gospel is the same for all of us. We're all sinners. By God's grace, he saves us. He redeems us. He makes us his own. And we celebrate those things together, those things that bind us as one people. God speaks to us in these general ways, but he also, I'm happy to say he also speaks to us in specific ways. And that's really why I'm here today. God tells us very specific things. Evangelist Chuck Milhoff tells of a man who came to one of his revival services years ago, dressed in full policeman's uniform. I don't know if he was just off duty or about to go on, but you could tell what his job was. And Evangelist Chuck says, at the end of the service, he came to the altar and he fell heavily on it. He had been stealing merchandise from stores, he confessed. And then he would go the very next day to investigate the robberies. And so he lived in this utter hypocrisy as a policeman. And week after week, he would go to church with the heavy guilt, going before God and asking what to do and knowing what needed to be done. Finally came forward and he repented, knowing what he was to do next. And he spent, I don't know how much longer after that, making restitution for his stealing. I didn't hear what happened to his job. I didn't hear the rest of the story. But God brought salvation to this police officer who knew what God was telling him to do. Evangelist Milhoff said, I will never forget his look of agony that night, replaced by a countenance of peace. This man heard the good news and he received it. And praise God, he became one of Jesus' own. And so we're all impacted by his good news for us. It's both general and specific. God has been proclaiming a plan of salvation from the beginning, and a vital part is with us. It is us, because the Lord reconciles a people to himself, so we become a part of that movement. Now, where do all these messages come from? Well, they come from the Bible. The Bible is the marching orders for an army, says James Smart. Not bedtime reading to help us sleep easier. It is direction for us. I know not a few Christians who say they've never heard God speak unique words just to them. And yet, I don't know any who haven't heard God speak through his word and speak through his church and felt the Spirit confirm the messages to that one, to each of us. Because the Bible is a primary source for everything God will say to us in this life. And if you hear something you think might be God, but it contradicts the Bible, three words, that ain't God. God speaks through his word, and he confirms through the Holy Spirit. And so we praise this great God who speaks for us, and he gives us marching orders, but it's not all the same. We don't all receive those same messages, so to speak. We are gifted, each one of us, with unique gifts in order to enable a unique calling he has for us. Because God speaks to us personally. Sometimes through a special direction, sometimes through other ways. One of the ways that I felt it uniquely is I heard God say to me, you will preach. And I went through what that meant and got some education under my belt. And I found that as I was a little ways into it, that I would go to a worship service sometimes. I'd be taking notes because sometimes I did that. And if the worship service was anointed, if I sensed the anointing of God, I also sensed it in a very specific way. Oftentimes, as I was taking notes, I would start to take other notes. And these messages would come to me. They weren't related at all with what was being said. And yet they would come to me in sentences and paragraphs. And I'd just write them down. And those things became messages for sermons and for Bible studies and other things. And so I sensed that anointing presence of God and a receiving of a message that confirmed that calling to me that I would be a preacher someday. And man, I absolutely needed that because I didn't go off to college hoping to be a preacher. And when I received that calling, I wasn't saying, yes, this is what I was hoping for. But God showed me in time the joy and the confirmation of that call. And so in a unique way, God confirmed that through his call to me. And so in this moment, in Isaiah 6, Isaiah is there in the temple and God's presence is overfilling the temple. It doesn't even begin to contain the Lord. And God asks the question, who shall go for us? And in a moment of complete irony, Isaiah said, pick me, Lord. And when you think about it, there were other beings in that room, right? In fact, the word angel means messenger. That's what it means. There are all kinds of messengers in the Bible. And the Greek word angelos means messenger. There's times when you read it, you're not sure if this person is human or a spiritual messenger. And other times it's obvious. But like with Joshua, has the commander of the Lord's armies, that was a spiritual messenger. Manoah received a message. Zechariah received a message from an angel about baby John the Baptist. There were times when you can't tell, is this a spiritual being or an earthly human being? You don't know because the word just means messenger. So how amazing is it that Isaiah sticks up his hand and says, pick me, Lord. You would think it'd be the angels he's calling on. But God seems to give a custom tailored message for Isaiah in that moment because he was pleased with Isaiah and pleased with his desire. And I invite you to come back next week for the last message in this series. There's a challenging call, a surprising ending to this chapter. And yet it becomes a key piece of Isaiah's own identity and amazingly, Jesus' own identity later on. So I invite you to come back. I think you'll be challenged and surprised and glad for the message. So as we think about Isaiah, he's already been cleansed. So he's ready to be the vessel of God's own choosing. And just like in the earthly tabernacle, which had things designed for specific use, they were purified and then dedicated for use. And so Isaiah, he has been designed to be a prophet. And God has designed all of us in our own unique life situations so that when we are cleansed, we are purified, then we are ready for our calling and ready for his use. I just want to say we're finishing up the Grow class today, and then a little ways in the future we'll do Discover. And that has to do with finding your gifts. And if you've never had an ability or a time, a moment to be able to pray and hear God speak to you about your gifts, I just invite you to be a part of that. Watch for that announcement when it comes. Because God designs messages for messengers. And God designs callings for each of us. God designs us for his calling as well. God gives spiritual gifts for abilities so that we can serve him in the settings he calls us into. God prepares the message for the messenger. And he designs messengers for his messages. God has a calling on your life. And whether you sense that today, whether you know it today or not, he has a calling on your life. Part of the joy of being a follower of Jesus is to receive that calling and to live into it. And we all come into this world, and from year to year, we have lots of plans. But your plans will not save the world, but God's will. Your plans, the plans that are merely human, they will not change the world. But God's are not merely human. And God doesn't just want to change the world. He wants to transform the world. He wants to make everything new. He wants resurrection power to fill this place and night to day change. He wants to turn evil hearts into good. And he wants to make us like his son Jesus. He wants to remove death from human experience to make all of us into holy people. That's God's plans. You can see them in the Bible. And so God is at work to make all of that happen. And he invites us along in this mission. And he gives us a call, our own part in this thing. The Lord's entire mission is transforming human hearts so we can be fully his. Body, mind, soul. 7 days a week. Anybody excited about that? Amen. Morning, noon, and night. God calls us to be his people in the church and in the workplace and in school and at play, in his marketplace, in government, even in government, community events and hobbies. Anybody have a hobby? These things can be used for him and in the home to be his and just like him. God has a call for us, all of us. And because God has a message, he needs a messenger. And every single one of us, our lives are saying messages. You can see a person's message on their face. You can see whether there's hope or despair, whether there's purpose or none. You can see it in their face. Sure, this world's evil, but is that all that matters? No. And do we take our cues from the evil one? Do we take our messages from the darkness of this world? No, we want to receive from the Lord His identity, and we want to help others see His identity. And for each of us, even though we've messed up, even though we've rebelled against the one who created us and loves us, even though we've sinned, there's a future for every single one of us and everyone we know. And God has it in front of us. God shows us glimpses of it and calls us forward into that future. That's His message for us. And He's looking for messengers. And so, the third movement of worship is proclamation. It's specific words. God calls out to His people and to all of creation in all the languages we have. God calls out and declares who He is. Our response is dedication. Whether it's a general message that's for everyone, a small group, or unique to you, our response is to dedicate ourselves to the word that's being spoken for us. A wholehearted yes to each special message. And the first part of that dedication is listening. Now, we all know, we've all heard there's a difference between hearing and listening. Right? I was going to tell a parenting story here. I'll tell it another time. I'll just tell a different one. How about that? You need to hear to listen, of course, just like you have to see to read. But if you're not actually listening or paying attention, it doesn't really matter what you hear or see. Neither hearing nor seeing guarantees you're taking it in. We must listen for God's word. We must pay attention. And then we can take it in. One of our daughter's first words was kitty. And that's great. What a great word, right? We had a pet. He was a cat named Boots. Now, both of us parents would have liked a different first word from this daughter, but that's okay, you know, that's okay. She said, key, kitty, so that's cute. And, you know, Boots wasn't especially friendly, and so it was good. He was getting some love from our child, you know. We went to a friend's house in the church. They had a Valentine's banquet, and downstairs they closed the doors and opened the cage and let out a bunny rabbit. And that little bunny was hopping along, and it was black and white. And so our daughter reached out and said, key. And that was so cute and precious. But it was wrong. Right? It was right for a little bit. But if she would have used the same word kitty to describe that bunny 2 years later or 4 years later, we'd have a little bit of a problem. And we'd want to talk to her about this. We'd want to help her teach some more, right? But she listened. And she gained so much more wisdom about the world around her because she listened. In the same way, God has messages going out for us to hear. We have to keep listening. There's so much more around us spiritually that we can gain and understand of who God is and our own calling, but we have to keep listening so we can grow. And I'm amazed at how many ways people tell me they're touched by a sermon here, some other kind of message, small group, whatever. Like, I can tell people are listening to the Holy Spirit. It's not just me or any of other preachers or teachers. God is speaking. I love to hear that. But dedication means opening ourselves up to all of God. Opening up all of ourselves to Him. Just like Samuel said, 1 Samuel 3:10, the Lord came and stood there calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. That's the posture of dedication. The first part is listening. And then we commit ourselves to obedience. I've noticed people are often quick to call Jesus Lord and Savior. And I've always wondered, He becomes Savior first and then Lord, right? So I'm not sure where we got the idea of Lord and Savior. But He's Savior and then Lord. And the reason He becomes Lord is because we listen and we obey. We dedicate ourselves to Him. And so, we look to Him to be Lord. Now, sometimes we hold back things from God. And we're putting ourselves between his lordship in our hearts. But I just want to encourage all of us today to let him speak to you about your family, about work, about sleep, about technology use, social media, physical health choices, hobbies, finances, school, everything, to let him be Lord. Let him speak and then obey. I heard a powerful story of a man named Ludwig Gutmann. Ludwig was a Jew who escaped Nazi Germany in 1939. He went to Britain and became a medical doctor there. And he worked with patients who were infirm. They were paraplegics. They had been injured in the war, losing a limb or more. And these folks were set on beds. They were cared for, but they were heavily sedated. Doctor didn't know what to do with them. But Gutmann didn't like that. So he reduced their sedatives, and then he'd get them out of bed. He'd throw a ball at them to get them to react, and he started working with them. Pretty soon, as he was trying to get them active, his doctor saw what he was doing, the other doctors, and they summoned him in a tribunal with his peers. His methods were challenged. They said, "You can't do that. Those are moribund cripples," one doctor asserted. "Who do you think you are?" Gutmann replied, "They are the best of men." It was his generosity of spirit that changed how he defined them. And he continued organizing games at the hospital, then for paraplegics across the nation. And then eventually in 1960, this led to the Paralympics. Because he saw in them what others did not. And he showed them who he thought they were. God sees humanity as crippled by sin. And so he seeks to heal us from this and to get us moving and living by his grace, and even inspires greatness in us and in others through us by his grace and his message for us. And so I'll ask today, will you say yes to God's call today? Will you listen to the one who calls your name, who calls you beloved and redeemed? Will you listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd? Will you put off your plans until the Holy Spirit confirms now's the time? Will you listen to him? And I can't know what those words will be today. God is speaking them to each of us. I just want to give a moment now to let him do that. So I ask, would you close your eyes with me? Would you take a deep breath with me? Just breathe in and breathe out. We can think of all of life as breathing in God's grace and breathing out with obedience. Breathing in with listening and then breathing out with speaking back to him or to others. Breathing in with God's direction and breathing out with finalizing our plans because of what he shows us. Now another deep breath in silence, if you would, with me. Note how your body feels refreshed when you breathe in deep. All of you, because all of us, every part of each of us is made for him to be used in service and lived by his grace for him. Let us remind us, by his grace we live, and without his grace we would suffocate very quickly. Our spiritual life would disappear. But God calls us each day and each moment to breathe in from him and to live this life he's given us. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask right now, by your Spirit, continue to speak as you have been for us. Lord, what is it you would have in each of us? May we respond. May our lives reflect your glory. May they reflect your grace. as we go from this place, may we go as ambassadors, as friends, as beloved, as sheep led by you, as your people. May we go by your grace. And Lord, may we go as listeners dedicated unto you. We ask in Jesus' name. And in just a moment, when we receive the offering, use it for your kingdom, we ask.